Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids.
Get the France press.
That's Friday. What show it is today.
Let's go.
Look at that.
Let's go.
Mine's not full, though. Don't hate me. I brought a fucking
Boom.
40.
Boom.
That's what I'm fucking talking
there
about, right?
In a paper bag, kids.
Yeah, I specifically asked for the paper bag just for you because I felt if I showed up with a 40 without a paper bag, this fucking thing. Come on, get it open, baby.
In the meantime, we got the Suckmaster. We got Dan Cummins on the show from Time Suck, one of our favorite podcasts on this earth.
Thank you for having me.
Whoa, dude. You've been on before. We're homies in real life, obviously.
Yeah.
And, man, super proud of you. You've one of the best podcasts ever. And I always start this at the top of the show whenever you're on because I want people to go and download and everything else. While Jared chugs this entire thing, how many fucking writers do you have on that thing?
We have two full time researchers that work on the stories before, but then because I'm a control freak, I go over all their stuff like multiple times and then double it basically before I record, to make sure I fully understand the topic.
Because it's so incredibly detailed. Every time you listen to it, you're like, my God, man, how much time does that guy spend on this?
Too much.
The real question is, how many times do you think those two people have been at a bar and said, I'm a full-time researcher for Time Suck?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a weird job.
Full-time researcher for Time Suck.
For Time Suck.
What I love is they're both fresh out of college, both like awesome young people, but... like 23 year old women. So I have these two 23 year old women working on the most dark, devious topics, and the way their brain matches up with mine, like I'm like twice
it's
their
terrifying.
Age. It's terrifying. Yeah. I'm like, how are you that warped? How do I relate? Both ways is terrifying. How do you relate so much to me, and how do I think apparently the same way as a 23-year-old woman?
Well, that's a miracle. You know that, right?
It's Jesus.
It is. Because trying to find people at 23 who have the same viewpoint as we do now, it's impossible, dude.
It's very rare.
They're so skewed. I blame the public schools.
Yeah, exactly.
All that trans day or whatever the fuck it is, drag day, when you're in fifth grade.
We didn't have that. You had to suppress your gayness, dude, back then. And now,
otherwise you got
like,
smeared. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
they played Smear the Queer.
Yes, that was the game. That was,
that was
our
a real game.
On our playground in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
There was a fucking recess aide
that was like mad at us because we were doing karate or something. She was like, hey, take this ball. Why don't you guys go play Smear the Queer?
Right. Yeah. That's what the adults are telling you. Yeah. Yeah. They give me hope for the future because they're cool people. They got all the empathy, all that stuff, but they're also like not fragile and not, and they can handle anything. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe society won't collapse.
Maybe. We'll see.
Right.
I think you personally got lucky, and then the rest of us are all
fucked. Yeah, because meanwhile on Twitter, it was this week it was trending that Starbucks employee having a full implosion. Did you see that?
Oh yeah.
What they imploded at work?
He I can't even tell you what he is because supposedly it was a. A non-binary. I don't know what any of this shit is.
Yeah, like, me neither.
I don't understand it. I mean, somebody needs to get me a fucking dictionary that I guess was written after 2022. Anyway, it's talking into the camera how it works part-time and also goes to school and cannot handle working, essentially.
Yeah.
Cannot handle the pressure of a coffee shop.
That's a weird thing now where we have like legitimized just being mentally weak, right? Yeah, it's like, okay, yes, mental illness is real. All these things are real, but also go to work.
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, do what I've done my whole life and push those feelings down.
Yep.
And deal with them when you have a moment because food has to get to mouths, bills have to be paid. Like, there is, a, like, I respect, it's funny, I used to talk to my wife about that when my grandpa, I would brag about how I literally never saw him cry his whole life, ever. Like,
as no one should have.
No one should have. Yeah. And she's like, well, that's, you know, that's kind of sad that he just had never. And I'm like, okay, maybe a little bit. Like, but also, dude took care of his whole family, took care of both his kids' families when they went through their divorces, raised me and my sister, like, and came from nothing. And I feel like instead of being respected now for being strong and tough and having mental fortitude, it's like, oh, that's so sad.
It's toxic.
It's toxic
masculinity. Yeah. There's two times.
Yeah.
Two times you're allowed to cry. Number one, if you hit your knee on a trailer hitch. Yes, it's authorized.
Okay.
I think God said that in one of the Bibles.
Maybe.
Number two, if you get more than 3 AA batteries stuck in your urethra.
That's true.
In your urethra.
Right in the front, right in the dick hole, right in the pee hole.
It took me
no, that's
me two
not
screwdrivers to get them out.
Two screwdrivers.
I had to like go in like this and pop it.
Yeah. Rubber handles.
Showed me a video of somebody putting, I can't think, it's not docking. Docking is when you
correct. Just touch sticks.
That's when you joust sticks.
Yeah.
God damn it. Giorgio, you know what this is called. It's called fitching or
sounding.
Sounding.
Yeah. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sounding is just like, that's a whole nother thing. It's like, I've gotten in trouble for like kink shaming. It's like, okay, have your kinks, but like that's, you're just fucking damaging yourself.
Oh yeah.
Like that's not sexual. You just hate your dick.
And that's all that
hate
is.
Hate yourself.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What is happening?
Oh no.
Are you going to bring it up?
We don't need it. We don't need it.
Do you have a sounding video?
We know what it is.
Oh no.
Well, no, but this is for Dan. We have a guest and this is what we do here. Like we show the guest. This is on YouTube, so you can't see this, but there you go.
And I can't look away either.
No, but put the camera on him because I want you to see his live reactions. There it is.
Okay.
That's just the warm up. Yeah.
Is that a machete?
No.
Okay, they're just slapping his balls and stuff to get him ready.
It's the bottom of your feet.
She's warming him up.
He wants it. He's. Oh no!
Are those scissors?
There you go.
Oh
man, we're getting in there.
Oh, he's trying to brace. Oh!
Damn it, dude!
God!
Damn it! This is like watching a Jake Paul fight.
No!
Yep. On, yeah.
Oh, wow. And I just can't stop watching.
I can't stop watching this now.
In my organs. Is that real?
Bless it, dude.
Is that real? Oh,
damn,
no.
Damn,
did she break the glass?
No.
Hasn't got in there yet.
She put the glass in and then smashes it.
But here's the thing. He's maintaining an erection right now. He's maintaining an erection, which is impossible.
He's having second thoughts.
You would feel with this much pain going down into it, it would soften up, but it hasn't.
I want both of you to come with me on this ride right now, all right?
Sure.
So what do you think they were doing at around like 3 p.m. that day? Like they were both at lunch.
Yeah.
Like, hey, tonight, maybe you can smack the bottom of my feet and my thighs and my dick.
I think they were at Applebee's having some Moz sticks.
That's not sex.
And so that's an injection into the penis. Is that the Harvey Weinstein thing?
That's numbing stuff? No, there was no needle. I think it was numbing stuff. There was no needle, and she put it
in. Oh, I thought she was pushing something in there.
Yes, you got to numb it up if you're going to put the thing inside your urethra.
No. Why? That's a long metal pole.
Yeah, so it's a bigger gal. The thing.
Oh, I just she's wearing a ski mask.
They're both wearing...
It is kind of a crime.
Luchador
mask? A crime
mask?
Is being committed.
Yeah, it is.
Oh. What happened in your development?
No. Look at Giorgio. I don't think I've seen Giorgio shocked before.
This
is a shocking one for Giorgio today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you can't see this on home, but if you plan on sounding yourself, do it on a ghost bed.
From ghostbed.com/drinkingbros.
Home of the sounding bed.
Oh, boy.
It's patented foam that is a memory type. Make sure that your lower abdomen is still while your girlfriend shoves a giant metal tube in your urethra.
That is
ghostbed.com/drinkingbros for 20% off your first purchase.
30% off your first purchase there. I wonder if this happened on a ghost bed, because that's the only comfort he has during this video.
Have you seen the video? It's like the same guy. There's a series of videos, but I think it's on Pornhub, but it's these special contraptions. Like, he'll be laying face down on this wooden slab with a little hole cut out for his balls, has his balls drop through there, and then this lady speed bagging his balls.
Oh, speed bag.
And then just doing power shots. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Why did you go full screen with this, dude? Why did we go full screen today?
Oh, man. That makes me want to throw up. That literally makes me want to throw up.
No.
But give me a headache.
It's so smooth.
Yep.
It's even out.
We have guests in the studio today, and they're probably wishing they didn't come right now.
Ah, fuck.
Damn it, man. That hurts. That hurts inside.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, I feel that.
I have a cold sweat. I feel like a cold sweat just broke
out. This might be the one time that I cry in real life.
Yeah. I think this might be a third allowable.
If my grandpa would have seen this,
he would have
wept.
Yeah. You're close to it. You're tearing up right now.
I was getting nauseous, feel like that. And then just that pain reaction where it's like you get the cold sweat, just the vicarious.
Yeah, I feel it in my pancreas. You're my spleen.
I just feel bad. We just did an episode, Cannibal Cop, talking about cannibalism fetishes, this guy who had it. And it's like they say that you could just be born with an asterisk. Like you're born with a tendency to have certain fetishes, but then if you feed it through more and more extreme porn, that's how they think you get to this point.
I've been seeing a lot of anti-porn propaganda lately. What's that all about?
A lot of it came from the Dahmer thing. So people were pissed off about Dahmer on Netflix.
Really?
So it ended up being, I think, number 3 of all time on their most viewed series ever. Yeah. And so everybody was into this.
The other one was Squid Games.
You guys, you know the story very well, obviously. My wife knows the story very well.
I know nothing.
Me neither. So, I didn't really know about it. And I went back and watched it. She gave up after 2 episodes because she was like, look, talking about it is one thing. Seeing it reenacted of how fucked up it was is another.
His paraphilia.
Yeah. And I didn't know it. So, I'm kind of going along the journey and it keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying that where they're just like, you know, back in the day, you didn't have all this porn to go to on this fucking crazy shit. So you were just kind of doing it, right?
Yeah.
Now are you kind of leading people down the path with the shit we just watched right there, where people are doing more and more fucked up shit in secret?
There's 2 schools of thought that's been around for a long time with sex work, prostitution, everything. And one is it keeps people from committing heinous acts in real life because it gives them an outlet for their fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is true for a lot of people. But it's like anything. It's like... you know, it's that one bad apple. Jesus, right?
I want no more.
Spoil, tap it out. Spoils the whole bunch. It's so hard not to look, but it's
just
so horrifying.
Don't look at that. Bob, we're going to go ahead and check out of that one, dude. We've got to have a real show here, and I can't see that index finger inside a penis like that.
But for some people, once their fantasy gets real dark, they want to reenact that now in real life. And that's the problem with certain kinds of porn. It's like they're watching that. You're watching something that no one in their right mind is going to want you. It's a crime to do that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rape porn and these things. And every once in a while, there's those, maniacs that are going to see that. And there's plenty of people who are going to see that and get it out of their system. This is fantasy, not what I want to do in real life.
Right.
But then there's the 1%, 2% that's like, no, I need to do that.
Yes.
And then that's what gets the bad press. I mean, it's like anything. Porn, like anything, is like what? In moderation. addiction, or if you're if you have normal working brain, but if you have a fucked up brain.
I was reading some statistics on it because I'm like, wait, why? Yeah. There's a lot of fucking anti-porn propaganda going around right now that porn addiction is real. And it's like, it was saying that an average of like 30% of men in the United States consume more than 7 hours a week. I'm like, what?
Wow. Oh,
that
is,
who the fuck
lot.
Has time for that?
Yeah, and I mean, you're sitting next to a guy that I'm surprised you came out on the other side, for real. Because you know like how we met, and
yeah.
I said this
oh,
on...
Oh, yeah, Playboy.
We met at Playboy TV. Yeah. I had never done press there at all, and they kind of give me like a heads up of what to expect. And I walk in, and there's like 10 to 12 buck naked playmates.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of in the makeup chairs getting ready just to start the day.
Yeah.
And then you were the host with them. And you and I ended up chatting for a couple hours afterwards.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you look at nude playmates? I mean, because you're looking at the best of the best.
Yeah.
Every single day in front of your face, completely buck naked.
Right.
For a good, what, 4 or 5 hours a day?
Yeah. Yeah. We do the hour of the show, but we do extra bonus content, things. We're shooting things. So, yeah, it was like 4 or 5 hours.
And then you're getting ready, obviously, makeup and hair
and
all
they're around
stuff.
Naked for that.
All of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It took conscious effort. There was definitely like a choice of like, okay, am I going to be a family guy? Am I going to, I was with my wife now, Lindsay, that time we were engaged. And it was just very much like, is that the path I'm going to go on or this other path? And what, for me, what did is I would see these guys that would get caught up in that world. And I'd had, I guess, enough like experiences beforehand to know myself enough to like if I would have had that job at like 22, it could have turned me into a very different person today that I would not want to be. Like where you see these guys where it's like never ending Peter Pan syndrome of just like nothing but these kind of relationships. Yeah. And there's surface fun in that.
3 months, 6 months, cycle them out.
Yep. Yeah. Cycle it out. Just keep going.
Some stupid car that, you know, doors go like this. And that's it. Yeah. That's as deep as you go.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And for me, I didn't want to do that. So I did put this wall up and that in my brain, and it almost messed my sex drive up, I think, for life. I was legitimately worried. I had to like go hardcore, like, nope, not going to like see you as a sexual person. I feel like a gynecologist maybe who just sees vaginas all day and then like goes at home like, another one?
Another
come
one.
Come on. I try to leave work at work.
Yeah.
And I was getting like that with like the nude female form. Like, that's why I was glad I only did it for 2 years. Because then I wouldn't want to have sex at home because I was just used to like, nope, shut it down. Shut it down.
And the two people that I had worked with on my side as far as movies go, the ones that lost their minds were there was two editors who edited porn.
Oh, just and, day after day.
One of them came into the office. He was looking for a job as like an assistant editor on this movie.
Yeah.
And he was just like, hey, dude, I could really use this gig or whatever. And I was like, all right, great. And he was near tears. And he goes, man, I lost my fiance, my life, everything else. And I was like, over what? And he goes, I was an editor for porn.
You got so jaded.
And I was like, okay. So I'm not following. And he goes, I get addicted. He goes, I was just masturbating all day long.
That way, yeah.
And he goes, when you're staring at this and then having to edit it all day long, he's like, you run out every single day.
Yeah.
And he meant it himself.
Yeah,
was like, there was days where like I was physically in pain and shit.
God.
And I was like, what? And so he goes, yeah, dude. And after 2 years, he lost his fucking mind. And so we brought him onto this gig and I let him be an assistant editor for I think 4 or 5 months. I don't know what happened to him after that.
Yeah.
But he was great and everything else. And he was super appreciative, but he lost it. And when I was at your place for that interview, I was like, that guy will lose his fucking mind.
Dude, there was a bay of editor or a wing on that floor of that building. And they worked on like more hardcore shows than what we did. And it was weird to walk through there. And these guys, 8 hours a day,
I've been in the headquarters of Vixen.
Oh,
like,
yes.
And that's why I've always asked. I'm like, how does an HR function work in a business like this? Because it was open bays of about 15 on one side and 15 on the other side. And you're talking like middle-aged women editing porn all day long.
Yep.
And then you had a party going on for, you know, because I guess like once a month they gave out the Vixen Angel of the Month.
They do on,
like
on a Friday afternoon. Yeah.
So
we did a gig there. We did a show there.
They had that whole thing going on. And like while we're all in the party room or wherever, because they had food and stuff, it was like guys were coming up to some of the girls like, hey, this person called me, really wants to get in on you. Like, are you interested? She's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Like, wait, this is your job.
But as they're making plates full of like Chick-fil-A and chilies, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm down for a DP, like whatever. And you're just like, Okay, cool. And that's, we were at their work.
Yeah.
Their place that was, of work.
I think there's two ways they tend to go. They go that way, mm-hmm. and they just get like embraced, like all into like orgies and stuff like that all the time. Or they go the other way, and they're just so desensitized that we would have a lot of these guys that seemed like they had no sex drive, no sexuality, working on porn all day, and then just, you know, and then when you talk to them in the break room, whatever, anything other than sex,
yeah,
video games, movies, whatever. It's like they were just totally desensitized.
Oh,
they just totally jaded. I'm like, that scared me more. I'm like, I don't want to just not have any sexuality because I'm just so burnt out on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you came out on the other side of it,
good
and
now.
Then you created this fucking empire with Time Suck and all your other shows.
Thanks.
Over there. And it's been amazing to watch on the other side of it because I feel like we were doing it kind of. Around the same exact time, and I just had this conversation with Ari Shaffir was on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Shaffir was on the show 2 days ago,
uh-huh.
and he goes, "Man, there's a bunch of you guys like who are in the top 50.
Yeah,
I've never done the show before.
Yeah,
and he goes, this show was fucking awesome. He goes, yeah. Let me say anything. And
yeah.
I go, yeah, yeah, we totally don't care. And he goes, who else is out there that like maybe people don't know about this in the top 50?
Yeah.
I go. Dan Cummins. And I was like, Time Suck or whatever.
Oh, that's
and I go,
nice. Yeah.
I go, I don't think he has guests on his show,
yeah.
but it's one of the best there is. And he goes, I don't know. And I go, you know why you don't know? It's a tree of Rogan. And I was like, I think we're the last two in the top 50 who have never done Rogan.
No, that's why when I met you, you were getting entrepreneurial, you know, before me. And I do watch you from afar. And it is cool because, yeah, same thing. It's like you guys are doing this on your own without like branching out from another existing kind of empire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see, I guess maybe selfish. I just realize how hard that is.
It is.
And but I respect it so much. Like it's a different kind of grind.
But it's not fun. And you wonder, you wonder some days with the coffee. Jared will tell you this, with the coffee or the seltzer. You sit on these phone calls and meetings and you're just like, oh my God. Fuck, is this ever gonna pay off? Like, what are we doing here every day? And it's like, both people love, like everybody loves the products, and we do too, which is why we did them. But these phone calls with these fucking people where I look at you and I'm like, I bet that motherfucker just does podcast, dude, and it's awesome.
You know, I try to put the blinders on as much as I can. It is funny, like we've had to turn away so many opportunities, potential ones, because I know I only have so much bandwidth,
mm-hmm.
and it's that thing. It's like I try to like be very product focused first,
yep.
and then make sure I get the time in to make the product right. And then if there's any time left over, do the other things, because I'm always worried about those other things, like unraveling it. Cause you do get people like, oh man, you could do this. You could add this. You could add this. Yeah. I'm like, I know I could.
Yeah.
I can also have
pump
a fucking melt
the bricks.
Yeah. Have a meltdown.
Yeah. Even with us, like, dude, the phone goes upside down. I don't know who's on it, calls, anything else.
Yeah.
Until after the show is over. And then after the show is over, great. Unless it's an emergency, like a kid, is it something?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, if he has a shot to break his leg today, I'll flip it upside down and check it.
Yeah.
And every time I regret it, because usually it's just messages about nothing where you're just like, oh, hey, the thing was broken and I didn't know who to call. And it's just like, figure the fuck out. I'll call you in a half hour.
Well, you guys are the same thing. We have to wear so many hats where you're like creative people and need to be put the blinders on to the creative stuff, but also running businesses.
Yes.
Yeah. I still haven't figured that out. It's a tricky, like, dual kind of thing to do, to constantly switch modes.
Well, let me ask you this, because in your company as well, you have multiple shows. Same. You also do one with your wife, which I do as well. And then she hosts another show on the network Crime Corner that's on Patreon. And when you have a show that doesn't do well or a host does something fucked up, which you just went through.
Yep.
What was that your first kind of foray into that where you're like, oh shit, I gotta make a decision here of what to do?
That was unexpected, this last situation we had where, like, to give the backstory, I've had to get rid of a few people before for just not doing their, like, I never wanted to be a manager, but you need to be, and learning how to like fire people and those things, which is
sucks,
you know, just to be like, what are you doing? You know, you always try, and then like, okay, well, this isn't working out, you can't be here. But then that was a blind side where with this last guy, literally the day before everything came out, I was like, dude, this is great. I feel like we're in a good spot. We just kind of cut a show back so I could have more bandwidth to focus on stand-up and focus on Time Suck and Scared to Death and some other things we like to do going forward and working with Black Rifle, like all these things.
Yeah.
Literally the next day, he's like, I got to talk to you about something. And then it was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
No,
it's like for months when I was at my wit's end trying to barely keep everything going and so confused over why you couldn't do your job and why this other person couldn't do their job. And then to find out that you guys were literally fucking each other all the time for months in the office, like when I wasn't around, I was like,
no way.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is the show gone completely? Is We Dumb?
Yeah, yeah. That one, we had actually stopped it before everything happened.
Okay.
Yeah, and it totally ran. I just was burnt out.
Sure.
And it just wasn't producing. That's the thing, too, where it's like, you know, just the analytics just weren't there to justify the time.
And honestly, that's the lesson everyone's learning this year.
Yeah.
Is everybody jumped this year to start a podcast.
Yeah.
Nobody learned how to do one.
Right, yeah.
It really is a skill and a craft to do it. Like he's saying, and then you have to treat it like a job.
Yeah,
so like,
absolutely.
Like your buddy, like, dude, you've got to treat this like a job, man. Like,
yep.
This is still work, and it's HR and everything else, and it's like, all right, cool, man. Like,
yeah,
you still
take it seriously.
You can't be fucking people in the break room. Like,
right,
that's
right.
Not gonna work.
Hold on, guys. Is this the time that me and Rob need to tell you about something?
You guys are fine. Like,
yeah,
I don't
because
care.
You guys don't make a mess. I mean, at least the last time I watched, you had a tarp down, and I mean, you're at least, you know, being polite about the building and the cleanliness of everything that goes on here. Like,
yeah.
So you guys are good. And we let guests fuck in here, so that's fine. So like, we have a sign on the highway now.
I love it.
You can drive up and come and watch a live show. We don't care, right?
Yeah.
We got some listeners here.
You just need to start thinking about being armed.
We are.
Because you've pissed enough people off that now anybody can walk through that door and go right after you.
Half of us have a weapon on us every single
Where
day.
Where is it?
So it's my backpack.
Okay.
Dan is not here today, but he just puts it on the desk usually. So, I mean, it's not even every show we do with Dan. By the way, he leaves the doors unlocked. Of course. Yeah, Jared's got one right there. So it's like, it's easy, right?
I'm waiting to see more. I was like, okay, there's one.
Oh, I'm sure. The first time I went to his house, there was 56 AR-15s in the fucking bedroom.
First off, right now, next to my bed, I have a 40mm grenade launcher.
Do you really?
A grenade launcher?
Just in case.
Just in case.
You never know.
Real life Goldeneye could break out at any second.
You never know.
You got to bounce them off those walls.
You never know. But we have people come in. Dan is secretly hoping somebody comes in that hates us. So he can justify a stateside kill. Yes. He just wants one more.
Get a stateside kill.
He's killed enough overseas. He just wants one in real life, like stateside. So it's like, hey, dude, leave the doors unlocked. And
there
like,
are 12 pressure points in my house that I can do this and a gun pops out.
Really?
Yeah.
I know three or four, I think. The one on your bed is the most impressive.
Well, you've also seen the one in the bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
You have all these places where, like, any room you can, like, push a button
Bro. We've already said this numerous times.
Do you run drills?
If Armageddon, if we had a civil war, we're all going to Jared's, right?
Oh, man.
Because he's got a compound, and now he's got a full bar.
Yeah.
Have you been to the bar?
No, he hasn't
I was. I saw that's when it was being walls. Constructed. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then, Bob, did you get the video that I texted you?
Oh, wow.
Did I text you? Hang on
that's
here.
That's pretty, too. Just the aesthetic.
Yeah. I made it nice. You know?
Yeah.
All right, let me save it first and I'll text it to you, because this is where things get really fun here is with Jared. He's building all the things that you would want, like when you had money, as like a joke,
he's actually doing this.
Yes. And I'll show the new one. What did we show last time you were on the show?
The mariachi band.
So he hired a mariachi band in the middle of the afternoon.
You put that on socials, right?
Yeah,
I saw that.
I was like, come do a Post Malone. Bob, I just texted that to you. When that gets in, you can pop that up on screen. This one will alter your mind. I don't even want to spoil it for you. But you saw the mariachi band like a week ago, and then this project's been going on for like 2 months. It's one of those things where you go, you're not really doing that. Yeah.
That's the logo.
Oh, no, I know.
I'm not just blowing smoke. This is excellent, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Because the peach flavor of the Hard as Fuck, it's not too sweet.
No.
That's usually my my complaint against all of these premixed.
Yeah.
Too sweet.
Yeah. And it's 8%, so watch yourself tonight.
Yeah.
Watch yourself tonight. We appreciate it. We worked on it for like a year and a half, all the taste before.
Well done.
Same thing where it was just like, hey, once you get it right, then you go out into the world.
But, yeah, you took it seriously. Then, like we were talking about earlier, man. It's a business.
You have to. Everybody's like, oh, just go out earlier. I was like, just not
right. Throw it out so your fans will love anything. No.
No, they won't. You got to make sure the product is perfect.
They won't.
Same with Black Rifle, dude. Like you got to go and do tests and all that other shit.
Like this.
Yes.
Right here, another shirt that Evan designed that is fucking sweet. And we have 120 new products for Black Rifle Friday.
Yeah.
120 new products.
And you guys go over all of them.
Yes. Like, all of them are Evan and Matt, like fucking yes, no, yes, no, yes.
Correct. Yeah. And then the reason why these guys are so creative is the video, Bob. You can go ahead and, did you get it?
No, it has not come through.
My God, dude.
Oh, wouldn't you got AirDrop?
Jared, let's not start that.
It says it has gone through on my end. It says delivered, Bob. Bob, it says delivered on my end.
It literally just showed up.
Okay, okay, okay. I'll give you the Denzel Washington. Okay, 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 okay. Okay. Pop it up. Yeah, exactly. Pop it up here, Bob. Well, we're all waiting, but it's fine.
That's going to be a minute.
It's fine.
His phone. His phone's not connected.
It's not the best. Is it an Android?
No, it's just not connected to anything. It's his phone. It's his personal phone.
That's fine.
When you guys are talking about arming up, Tyler here with me was getting so excited, I'm sure. Big, big tactic. Oh, my God. You brought yours here.
There he is.
He's backing, too.
Dude, bring him up on screen. Come behind us, Tyler.
Come on, Tyler.
Everybody says, hey, do you guys have any black people that hang out with you? Now we can say yes.
Now Tyler's not. He's like, no.
Tyler, what, dude? We need one, okay? Damn it. They're going to say things online about us, okay?
What did Tyler
have? Hop in behind us and say hello.
You checked that in your baggage?
Course.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's this is Tyler. This is Tyler. Yeah. There it is. Boom.
Oh, Tyler's awesome. What what did you bring?
Yeah. Pop on that up. Pop up that shirt.
What do you got there?
P320?
P320. Look at that. Look at that. He's behind the thing.
Oh my God.
Look at that. Yes.
Oh.
There it is. Behind. There we go.
Nice. Right here.
That's nice. That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Look at that, dude. No. I've seen it a million times. We'll probably get pulled from YouTube. Thanks. Who cares at this point? All of us are just passing around handguns. Hey!
Hey, you. Come on!
Yeah, the host of the show is fucking. Oh my God. You can't hear him because he's off mic, but he said Kyrie Irving was right, and I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding. But that's the best guy to have with you. He's strapped, shoots.
He's awesome.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Black. That way you can get away with every joke on stage where you're like, dude, I can run it up, dude.
I love when people do try to do that. It's like, no, that doesn't make it right.
Nope, sure doesn't.
I have a friend. Still.
I know. You can't do it. You're like, nah, still can't do it. Bobby, what do we got on that video? There we go. Okay. So we're going to play this on screen here.
Yeah.
This is Jared's new gym that he installed in his house.
This is only when it was half done, but it's fully done now.
It's called Mark Hard.
Yeah. Mark Hard the gym.
Mark Hard the gym. And that's, is it trademarked?
Trademark Mark Hard.
Okay. Pop it up on screen there. So he has put Mark Wahlberg on every single stitch of his wall inside the gym, dude. And in Ted, they're drinking cans of BRCC, obviously.
Yeah,
and
be Mark Hard.
Be Mark
That's
Hard.
That's our slogan.
That's
be
his slogan.
Be Mark Hard.
So when people come into the gym at his house, he goes, dude, are you going to be Mark Hard today? Because if not, get the fuck out of my gym.
Mark Hard.
Yeah. See, we have a style guide and everything.
It's just Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Everything.
I love how far you take all of this.
I take it real far.
To the end.
I know. When he first brought up his fucking hot dog business, I'm like, get out of here.
And then you saw him online for sale.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah.
You really dedicated a lot of time to do this.
Yeah. if look, besides Black Rifle, right?
Yeah.
The rest of the things that he's dedicated his time to.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, just the amount of hours you spent on Mark Hard, dude, like the gymnasium in your house, that if it weren't for a podcast, maybe 50 other people would see in this life. Yeah. And you just went all in on Mark Hard.
And you know what? It was, I'll give this, it was Logan's idea. Like, cause I was just like,
oh, was it?
Yeah. So I had just gotten all the gym equipment from True Grit gym, Matt Paiva, our friends.
Love Paiva.
Yeah. He started True Grit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No way.
So if you need gym equipment, guess who you get to call?
God damn, that's dope.
You know a guy. You know a guy.
I was the best.
Rocco.
Yeah.
You know a guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I was like, we were sitting on the porch, and I was like, man, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I should wrap the gym in. I want to do it in something funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan's like, why don't you just do it of like all photos of Mark Wahlberg? I'm like, actually, yes. Because then I was like, no, because all the people that come through town and stay with me,
mm-hmm.
like they're going to use the gym. And these are all people like Dan that has a following, a personality and everything. And for them to just be randomly taking selfies of them in a Mark Wahlberg gym, this becomes this like fucking
100%
this underground like funny joke that's running amongst everybody.
Yeah.
Like Travis Pastrana will be at my house on Sunday. Like he's going to be working out in Mark Hard.
Yep.
Like so within the next like 60 days, you're going to have tons of big named people just working out in a place that's Mark Wahlberg.
Just and then getting Mark Hard.
My idea is I want to film a commercial. Marcus Luttrell says he'll play Mark Wahlberg for the commercial. And I want to air it all over Austin and San Antonio TV. But there's just no address. So it's just like, come be Mark Hard, Mark Hard Gym, Mark Hard. And then that's it. There's like, I want to work out that gym, but there's no fucking address.
Have you thought of it, Dan? Have you thought about running ads in Idaho?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, we had a billboard for Scared to Death running in LA last week. We didn't do it like SiriusXM did it, but it did give me the idea. I'm like, I know you've done billboards.
I've done a fuck ton.
Tons. Yeah. But we also looked into the commercial slots on like local TV.
I haven't looked into that. Is it pretty cheap?
Super cheap.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, it's so easy that it's scary. So like, he'll do it.
So one of the things I want to do with the commercial slots for TV is because of the cost.
Yeah.
I want, and Evan and I have talked about this for a long time, we want to buy up an entire commercial break. And each commercial, though,
it's bleeds, like you're telling a story.
No. So like the first one, I did horse karate. So it's me and Caleb, you know, come on down and learn horse karate. And then the commercial ends. The second commercial is us in suits over our karate gis as the same people going, has your horse been injured in a karate-related incident? Like, and then the next commercial is like a butcher's outfit over the suits. It's like, did your horse lose in litigation? Like, you see, and then the commercial, the entire break ends and someone's going, what the fuck did I just watch?
Oh, yeah, they're going to think they've just gone. I love that I did a joke about doing something that crazy, like, wouldn't that be weird if, but no one's going to do this way.
Yeah.
And I see that you're the person that will do that. Like, I feel like there's a good chance this
is
going to happen.
Not only will he do it, but we actually looked into it in Wilmington because that's where we were before here.
Yeah.
So Wilmington had actually, somebody had seen a sign or heard about the show and they go, hey, if you're serious about this, we can sell you a full half hour. And I was like,
full half hour, like late night programming. Like,
that's what I thought.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, late night programming. And they're like, no, the cheapest slots are at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on local on Fridays. So they were like, you can have the full 30 minutes at 1 p.m. It's got to be after they have a noon news show that goes for an hour. And they didn't have any time slots in the afternoon because most of those old soap operas are gone. And so they were like, you can have the full half hour.
Dude, are you kidding? I got it. We build a fucking talk show in here.
Well,
I mean, I'm talking a Maury style. Like, when you just put like 8 rows of chairs,
yeah.
a little stage, you and I have mustaches. Like, that's it. Like, all right, today's show, you know, we got some cheaters.
Exactly. And by the way, we asked.
Oh, my God.
And they were totally fine with it. So they said no swearing, no nudity, no everything else.
Sure.
The only thing is, it had to be QC'd. Remember those old QC tapes? That were on,
QVC?
No, like QC. Those QC tapes that
were
like,
another program.
It was high. Giorgio, do you remember those things? They were maybe two sizes of an iPhone. Okay. It was like a brick of a video. And it wasn't a high 8. It was something else.
Oh, like what you had to actually play it off
Correct,
of?
Yes.
Oh, because of their equipment?
And so the conversion of it to try to get it on that thing was too much. And I was like, when you guys go to MP4s, that's probably more realistic.
Right,
because
right.
Because getting it at that level on that tape, that was the costliest thing, to be honest with you. It wasn't the show itself. It was just getting that
Dude,
fat
if
tape.
You and I did like a QVC too, but we're like making something that we're selling, like, this is how you make scissor up. Like, we got Hennessy and cough syrup. We're just like, oh, call right now and we'll send you this bottle right here. It's all over the fucking cap and everything. It's just a big mess.
It'd
because that you buy the block and then you get the ads if you run them for the block, right?
Correct.
That's
yes.
Byron Allen's like a model that has made him millions.
Richest black man on earth right now.
Byron Allen?
Oh, yeah. So
are you serious?
Are you sure?
I knew he was.
On.
What?
Bring up Byron Allen.
Sure.
He just bought the most expensive piece of real estate in the United States history for a black man. This was 2 weeks
Allen
ago.
Byron Allen did.
Yes. And so they want him to buy an NFL franchise, and they wanted him to buy the Denver Broncos over the summer. Yeah.
I knew he was doing well.
Byron,
my
it's
God.
B-Y-R-O-N Allen. And then bring up the house.
Net worth.
His net worth is disgusting. It's crazy. But that's exactly what he did. He bought up all these TV stations, weather channels, like a bunch of weird
shit. Dude, Comics Unleashed, and then
pop this up on full screen so they can see his new property there. How much was it, Bob? This was $100 million, yeah.
Really?
$100 million residence.
Yep.
Do you think, like, when you buy a $100 million house, is there different light bulbs in there?
For sure.
Made of gold.
Yeah, yeah. Is the rim like gold too? Like, hey, what makes it $100 million?
You're wiping, like, the toilet paper is just shredded antiquities, like just shredded Van Gogh.
Yeah,
priceless artwork that you're just destroying.
Yeah. All the Richard Nixon documents that are shredded where you're just the real ones.
All the toilet paper in this house are made from United States official presidential documents that have been shredded. Like everything.
Man, good for Byron Allen.
But that place is at the top Brentwood up there, and it's got allegedly the most beautiful views in all of the city.
The water's flown in from Switzerland every day.
Exactly.
What city is he in?
Brentwood. It's in L.A. But it's
right next to Santa Monica.
Yeah, but you know those hills that go up there?
Yeah.
Like all the way up? Like, that's it. And allegedly, that's the highest you
can go.
What's
his net worth, Bob?
Well, yeah, what is Byron Allen's net worth? I think it's close to $1 billion, I think.
Man, from just buying programming blocks.
He has a net worth of $800 million.
Yeah, close to a billion, yeah.
Yeah, but so right now,
it's not even close? Yeah, the Sultan of Brunei is black. That dude's worth like fucking $40
billion. No, American.
Oh,
American.
You didn't say that.
I don't give a shit about, like, having an oil baron, like, from Saudi. Who gives
Brunei.
Shit?
That's cartoon money when you get that oil money.
Brunei. That doesn't count, does
he invented cigarettes.
Well, if you do
he
that.
He invented a cigarette? Yeah. A guy who's alive now?
Yeah.
Respect.
Sure did. That's
See?
A lie. That's
Told
a
you,
total
Georgia.
Lie. That's a total lie.
No, it's not.
$800 million for Byron Allen. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. The NFL franchise that's available right now is the Redskins, a.k.a. the Commanders.
Oh, yeah.
That is valued at $5.6 billion.
So much money.
So you got to go in with a bunch of people.
Yeah, all that CTE
and then you don't
money.
Even get to own the land either.
No.
That's the fucked up thing.
City owns land, right?
Yeah.
It's like you don't even get the stadium.
There's only like two or three owners in professional sports, not just the NFL, that aren't billionaires.
Yes. One of them was Mark Cuban when he sold radio.com. Yeah, he bought the Mavericks and it was pretty cheap and it was just right at the right time. And I want to say he got his for like $400
million. Wow.
And then built an empire off of it.
Mark Cuban, man, I like so much of what he does. I haven't followed it recently, but he was going to do this healthcare thing where he was like, it was like a percentage.
He's doing it.
He's doing it,
right? Out for all the drugs. Like, he's basically,
I love it so
much. So you don't have
much.
To have insurance. He's buying up drugs at bulk rates so you can get cheaper prices for all of them.
Yeah.
And people are getting their prescriptions for like a tenth of what they would have
before. Yeah, because it's just a percentage. It's like, we are only going to mark up, you know, X amount, 10%, 20%.
Of what
whatever,
it costs us.
Of what it costs us, no more. And because he found like, it was these middlemen between, you know, big pharma and the actual pharmacies that were just doing these insane price hikes and just fucking over everybody.
Tens of thousands of times percent price increase kind of thing.
Just bullshit. Yeah, it's like, I love that. I hope that blows up so big.
So do I. Because you need it. And it takes one of those guys to do it. Even we were talking about it before the show, what's happening with Twitter. If you don't have Elon buying Twitter, I don't think that platform ever changes, and it probably just gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. Right, and then just dies eventually.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing, though?
Is all of it a bad thing?
I mean, social medias have died before. We've quit using them.
Yeah,
I love to torch all of it, to be honest with you.
Facebook.
Imagine if you didn't have to go on every day.
I know. Well, Tyler, Logan, some of the guys, I mean, they will do most of it now, but it's that double-edged thing where it's like, it can help you so much,
sure.
You know, with no gatekeepers, build things.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, it can suck all your time and keep you from making the content that made people like you in the first place.
Yes.
It's just, again, go back to porn.
We gotta bring back
balance.
The gates, man, or the greats, man, like Good Neighbor. Why Does Kids You Know?
Why Does Kids You Know died?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I remember how
moonshine.
They were great. Trevor fell off. Was he drinking moonshine?
I heard it was like an alcohol poisoning thing, and I heard
he just fell off his balcony.
Distilled wrong.
That's it.
When you get that moonshine and you don't distill it correctly, it poisons you.
Yeah, he fell off the balcony and he just died.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. But you know what doesn't do that to you? Hard as fuck seltzer.
Hard as fuck seltzer, ladies and gentlemen.
Will not make you go blind.
HardasSeltzer.com will not make you go blind.
You wake up in the morning with a great cup of coffee, and you end it with a great cup of 8%.
You sure do.
Hard as fuck seltzer that'll fuck your mouth.
You wake up with Black Rifle Coffee. You go to bed with Hard AF Seltzer. It's night time.
Yeah.
We talked about the podcast earlier, about underrated podcasts in the top 50. I want to talk about your stand-up.
We're talking about underrated stand-up.
Yes. You were one of the you were one of the best there is. It is. Dead serious, man.
Thank you.
You were one of the very best, and yet I you're not the dude yet, and I don't understand it. It's you, in my opinion, out of all of our friends, and Steve Byrne. Do you need
Man, he's great. I've known Steve for a long time.
If I gunned ahead, had to say, hey dude, pick two comedians to go crush. In L.A., Brian New York, Cowan. Midwest, or on a fucking cruise ship. He's funny, too. He's
absolutely hilarious.
Too.
Yeah.
I misunderstood the...
Pick two to go and crush at any venue in the world, and it's guaranteed. It'd be you and Steve, because I think you guys translate to every single crowd, no matter where you go.
Yeah,
and I think you're two of the best.
Oh, thanks. It's been fun. We're going to produce my own special here in a month for the first time. We're having so many problems right now with copyright and like publishing rights, where it's like a fight I didn't even want to fight, and like all my stuff's been taken off Pandora, Spotify, because of this crazy copyright battle going on with like the streaming platforms, and I don't own my own stand-up piece. Like Warner Brothers, other entities own them, which is I can't post it on TikTok. It's like all this nonsense. And so we're going this direction now of just like producing our own special, and I'm so excited. The new hour I think it's my best one by a lot. It's just been but I think what's hurt me, you talking about the Rogan tree earlier, I'm not naturally a networker. It's like I focus so hard on trying to make the content good that I like down in LA, there was that culture of like hang out at the store, hang out at the improv, spend time there. And I'm like, I got kids.
Get your name known.
And I'm like, I just went the other way of like, okay, I'm just going to go the long haul of I'm just going to try to get good and just going to try and make it good. And also, you know, a lot of those people, when they do all that hangout time and try to get good, it destroys their personal lives.
Sure.
And they, you know, like,
consumes them.
Yep. You don't have time for your kids. You don't have time for your, and so I'm like, so maybe I'll be less known, but maybe I'll have a better kind of balanced life. But now I'm hoping that with, as things go, that, you know, maybe somebody will see one of these new bits and it'll go viral or who knows. And
well, the wild thing is, cause I'm looking at your YouTube here. It seems like your stand up bits do better than the podcast. You're in the same boat as we are, where it's like 10 to 14,000 on video.
Yeah.
But our audio numbers destroy everybody.
Yes. Yeah, audio is good.
And there is no translation. We've had conversations with YouTube. I'm curious if you did too, because your shows are not as offensive as ours. Like, not even close. So, like, I understand some of ours.
There's a lot of side-sucking dick conversations.
Yeah. What's the story?
I don't know what's... Yeah, YouTube's been tricky. Well, again, it's rights. I don't have rights to most of my catalog, and so things keep getting flagged. I know on TikTok... Lately, we started doing that, and I had a couple bits go into like the 3, 4, 5 million kind of like view range because they were new stuff from clubs that at least I could post.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's what's killed me on stand-up is just all of the trademark copyright stuff of my whole catalog is owned by other people. So
that's
it's just,
wild.
So
it's a stupid fucking system.
It is,
Like when you think about it, like, and we created it. Like the entire music industry is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you know, I will say this. Don't hate me for it.
Okay.
Or maybe you won't.
Well, we'll find out.
I'll tell you what. Vice makes some really good shit.
Vice, the channel?
Yes.
It is Vice very Media. Well produced.
Yes. Yes.
There is
dude,
great content
they
there,
have,
for sure.
They have some banger series on
they do.
YouTube.
They do.
And I've been, like, down the rabbit hole lately with the... Yeah. They have this whole series on single tracks from famous artists, like, and they do a 20-minute... Like how that song came about.
I watched the whole series, by the way,
dude. The other day I just watched Papa Roach Last Resort, and like you realize, like you know, they were a band.
This is
from...
my last resort.
Yeah,
I watched it.
So like they're sending out tapes and everything of these shitty recordings. Warner Brothers gives them an option deal of, all right, we'll send you to a real studio with a budget to make a single, and then we'll decide on that single once it's done.
Yeah.
They go into a real studio for the first time in their life. They're from Vacaville, California, which, you know, I'm from that area as well. They go to the studio, do Last Resort. The producer there is like, this is a banger of a song.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers comes back with all the suits, all the board around the table. They said, no one will listen to this. We're going to pass. And the RNA guy from DreamWorks across the street is like, wait, they passed on that track? Last he runs over and grabs it. He's like, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And like 4 weeks later, they're headlining fucking Warped Tour.
Yeah.
So it's like...
That's that old system.
But I feel like the same thing could happen to you, where it's just like if that one person saw your stand-up or whatever, it's like you're so devastating on stage that it's like...
Oh, thanks, man.
Dude, I just don't get it.
It is a thing where it's like if you have a different style or whatever that's not... You know, that's one thing too about LA. I didn't want to hang out and just be overly influenced. And so I feel like my old manager used to say that. She's like, you're an acquired taste, you know, because it's not the same. And so decision makers... They want to see something almost kind of like familiar, it feels, to like, you know, promote. Maybe it reminds them of them or whatever. But I am hopeful that, now that we're going to own it, you know, we're going to have a better chance of changing it. Because it's like, that's what happened with Time Suck. Talking about like gatekeepers, I was stuck in that traditional mindset, and I tried to go through a podcast network to launch that concept. Mm-hmm. No one wanted it. Everyone passed except for one group. I sent them the pilot and they were basically like, we can't market this. Nope. And I just got pissed off and did it myself. And it became the best thing I've ever done my whole career as far as I changed it. And now that's the mentality going forward. It's like my agent is such a good guy that way where he's like, fuck all the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
You know, like he doesn't want me to try to go through Netflix or anybody. He's like, I don't even want to pitch it. He's like, we're going to double down on do it all yourself.
JP and then Sears control everything.
JP Sears just did it. Ari just did it. His special launch.
Mark Norman.
Mark Norman was on the show.
Houston in December. Like everybody's doing their own.
Yeah,
it's like fuck it.
Andrew Schultz put his up.
He kills doing his own stuff.
Crushed and then put it up afterwards.
Yep.
I think that's probably where it is for the future. And then you own all of it.
Right.
So you can do whatever you want with it after that. Chop it up and monetize it on all these
different
platforms.
It's just a large upfront cost.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard.
It is. And that's the hardest thing for stand-ups. And I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people don't have that kind of money to produce a special, get a good director, and then sit in and edit because it's more than just set up three cameras and audio. It's like, nope, that's a whole production.
Yeah, to do it right.
And a minimum 60.
Minimum
$60,000.
Any comedians out there, I will do your special for four sets for $45,000. I will undercut that, so hit up your boy Papa
G. There we go. Giorgio,
did one in 2017.
Yeah, we did. We did a whole fucking show. And that was 60 all in, I think?
Yeah. 59.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you've done that. And you both have, like, with the movies you've made and stuff like that, like, doing it ourselves.
Yeah.
Do it the way we want. Get it out there.
That was, like, literally what helped grow our show, too, is we put the live thing on Amazon in 2017. Nobody was doing that.
Yeah.
And we put it up for free. Or it was just like, hey, dude, go ahead and stream it. And here it is.
It was on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
That's awesome.
It was just like, hey, Amazon Prime. Yeah.
It still is.
It's called
Shaved Eagle Tour.
Shaved Eagle Tour.
That's awesome.
We did a tour. We did a Tattoo Glory Hole on that tour.
Oh, that was great.
And we brought up listeners on stage, had them stick an arm or a leg through a glory hole.
And they don't know what they're getting.
They don't know what they're getting.
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
We decided it's a Harambe.
It was 2017. So Harambe was one of the tattoos. I think the other guy got, what was it, a machine gun or something?
Dude, pull up the trailer for this. Maybe none of your listeners know this even exists anymore.
Maybe. Yeah. It was a while
ago, wasn't
it? Drinking
Bros Shaved Eagle Tour.
Trailer.
A 90-minute
movie. And it's
movie,
free. It's free. It's everywhere. It's on YouTube.
Completely fucked up.
It's on YouTube, Amazon, all that stuff.
Yeah, I love
there's...
it.
Yeah.
and with the books, that's where I met Ross, too. It was the books.
Yeah, the romance novels for dudes, dude.
So great. But I just love that you were down, you grinded it in LA for so long.
Yep.
And the studios, I'm sure, were like, nope, this isn't what, interests us. And you're like, fuck, I'll do it all myself then. And made it work.
And they just weren't doing comedy. They weren't doing comedies anymore. Yeah.
There she is.
Yeah, pop her up.
I want to see this.
We own the rights to
it now.
We own the rights to it, so you can play it.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Welcome to fucking Drinking Bros. Not today!
What do whiskeys look like? that. He's too hot. Sorry.
I just poured the first France press.
He was pretty hot.
Tackle.
Yeah, he was good looking, man.
You didn't fucking write anything.
No.
This was completely off the cuff.
I threw my ass down. Did you say something to me at Wendy's?
Look at that. From the same Marquis of Rippington.
Can you go outside, book for tickets, or add more chairs?
I think people go back and forth and it's like, what is your podcast? What does it stand for? And like at the end of the day, it's family.
So we were one of the first people to do this back in the day. Yeah, and we put it for free.
Dream Bros, that is just fucking fantastic.
Everybody's there to truly help one another out.
It's a community that steps up and donates whatever they potentially can.
A girl that runs out of gas in fucking Wisconsin.
One of our Dream Bros family members' death, or a child being born who has medical conditions.
Shit. Like, what we're doing kind of makes a difference.
And you have the same relationship with your audience as well.
It's awesome, man. It's so rewarding.
The world, essentially, that you can find another drinker bro that'll sit there and have a beer with you when you're having hard times.
Holy shit.
I love that about this.
No.
We started pushing...
And I made that animation in the end.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But we did it all ourselves. They're like all of us.
I love the community stuff where it's like we started pushing that where there was a thing for a while where I'm more of an introverted person. And there was, you know, like fans would want to like, okay, have a relationship with me. And I was honored by that. But I started saying, I don't have the bandwidth, the space to like hang out with everybody. But you guys came here because you have similar interests. If you start making those connections, please find each other and build that, you know, and start hanging out with, like, you know, it's hard to find adult friends. You don't know if you have similar interests. Well, if you're here and it's a pretty fucked up sense of humor, but there's some heart too, you probably do have, some similar interests. And so many of them ran with that. And it's cool. All the marriages that have come out of it and just like stuff like that, where like people like depressed, PTSD, suicide, helping each other, saving like each other's lives, like really dramatic shit. It is so rewarding.
42 chapters around the country, 361 groups of Drinking Bros on Facebook.
Yes. And then you guys went through the same thing we did. So like you had a huge private group.
Yeah.
Ours was up to 128,000.
Damn.
And then we got nuked by Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And it was dumb.
Like, we just got nuked again last week. But we did. Yeah. We spread it out like you guys. Form your own.
Although the new
we're going to keep getting shut
has
down.
Has not even been on the radar once yet.
Which was, oh, wow. So Jared changed the name. Tell them what the name of it means.
What is it?
Multicultural All-Inclusive Network.
Man. And they don't even look at you guys.
Nope. And Jared put up like a rainbow flag
background.
Oh, yeah,
dude. It has everything.
And the whole thing.
But it's just me with glasses and a mustache on.
It is.
The bias is so fucked up where we just started Cult of the Curious 2. And I'm from the beginning, I'm sure they were like, fuck these guys. And we appealed to them. We're like, no. We're making fun of the things that you're flagging. Your bots just don't understand sarcasm and satire.
And that's the thing with AI. It does not understand... Nope. Comedy, sarcasm, context, none of it.
None
of that. It's like, all right, great. If this was a dramatic thing like, oh, hey, I'm going to go shoot a school, fine. But it's not. So
Right.
That's
what
we had to do to get around the system and do the workarounds. You did something amazing, though, by creating an app. And
your
app is also amazing.
Yeah, the app is the only thing we couldn't replicate on the app, and we're going to change it to Bad Magic Productions app here before long, is that to truly build out a robust, and maybe you've looked in this too, like Facebook equivalent, that's millions and millions, and it still wouldn't be as good.
So you.
Oh, that's right.
You go, hey, dude, because I go, hey, can I get the number of your guy? And I want to see how much it would cost.
Yeah.
The cost was so shocking that
they're cheap compared to
and I was like because we got quotes from other people too and they were the cheapest but the cost of it because we have such a massive back catalog
so
for us with all the shows on this network we're over 4,000 shows audio and video
my god
and then you know combined 8,000 if you combine the audio and video so like the space that that requires on servers and everything else is what buried us, where we were like, we can't do an app.
And to build out a true thing that would be a Facebook equivalent of having the shareability and to get everybody
trying to get somebody to migrate is the hardest thing to do. You'll lose 90% of your audience. You'll migrate 10.
And you'll invest millions in and it won't be as good because it's like
Truth can't do it. Parler can't do it. Like, they had all the money on fucking Google can't do it.
Right.
Google Plus failed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
What? It's seeming kind of good right now. Just a little place where you can put your
Google Plus and your gigabytes. You put them in your pits, you purple people eater, while I'm in the prone position eating party pizza.
Full respect on G Plus's name.
Google Plus. Stephen Jorgensen.
Exactly. But that's amazing. Yeah. And like to be able to keep up with it on a monthly basis, like, because it's costly.
Yeah.
To do an app is costly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yours is one of the best. And I don't know another podcast studio that has an app.
Corolla did one a long time ago, so way before us. And I don't know how much they spent, but I heard it was a lot more. And it crashed. It was just like, it didn't work.
No.
And so it was just like, because I remember that scaring us when we went into Earth. We're like, is this just going to just destroy us? It's like this. But luckily,
financially,
we've built some cool, fun, custom things that we've gotten deals on and fans have supported. And thank God it's worked.
So I talked to Corolla about it. I was like, hey, long term, everything else. And I asked him about the app and it crashed and whatever. And he goes, boost, liquor. He's like, the seltzer. That's what you got to do. And I was like, all right, cool. What I didn't know was he had his own line. He came on and did, what was the wine that they
Mangria.
Were doing? Mangria. You know who's right.
Mangria.
We drank an entire bottle of Mangria live on air. Because the with this, to go out in 12 packs, the max you can do is 8%. So we maxed it out, right?
Yeah.
And we did hard AF seltzer and we're like, hey, we're maxing it out. With his, for wine, I think it's 21% for wine. And he did his at 20.5.
Okay.
So I drank a bottle live on air with him and I was like, holy shit. And it was very good. And at the end of it, I was like, hey, I'm rocked. And I was like, and then we went over the kind of the format of everything. And he had a million of them. And I think he's got 17 different liquors and stuff. And I was like,
wow, I didn't realize he dove that hard into all that.
It's extensive. And he crushes and they're all good. Like, I love the Mangria.
Were you guys nervous to go hard on this? Because I imagine the costs before you ever make any money back to give it a shot are pretty substantial.
Yes, they are. And we were, for sure.
Yeah.
And if it fails, like, let's say people didn't like the taste. Same with Black Rifle. If they don't like the taste, you're out, dude.
You're right.
Like, you're out. It doesn't matter how cool you are, who your listeners are, everything else.
Right.
If it doesn't taste great, you're fucking out. And so we took a gamble as well as Black Rifle, and then everybody likes the taste, thankfully.
Yeah.
But if not, you got to shut it down. And
I got to kill the baby.
I got lucky with my college roommate invented Four Loko. He was on the show a few weeks ago, and we talked about that story and everything, and it was the same thing with him.
Yeah.
Like, Four Loko teetered on bankruptcy for years, and then it was one thing that made it explode, and then boom, they made a ton of money, but...
Wow.
They were teetering on bankruptcy every day because the taste of Four Loko isn't great.
Yeah, it's like...
especially the original. Do you remember the original?
No, I don't think I ever had one?
Oh, with the caffeine in it?
Yeah, oh, fuck
14.5%, and it had caffeine, and it was malt. So it was like, bro, I was battery acid.
Yeah.
You are drinking death.
You are. And I told him about it because, like, I was honest with him. Because I was in LA and I was doing movies and all that stuff. And he'd sent some out and he was like, hey, dude, do you want to invest in this? And I was like, what is it? And he goes, all right, it's an energy drink with booze in it. And I go, why would anybody want that?
Who are you marketing to?
Who is
people
it?
That like Coke and liquor.
Don't want to get arrested for Coke.
Yeah.
And don't want to get arrested for a pocket full of Coke.
And if you listen to the show.
Daddy don't have no powder on his nose.
Exactly. And if you listen to the show, the first places they were opening was like the ghettos and shit like that. And like, that's where they went. And it was like,
and college kids
you
too?
Like how he said the ghettos real quiet.
No.
The ghettos.
Not for that, but he was just like, hey, for $2.99 a can to get that fucked up for $3, like that's essentially $4. Like, so you're like, all right, great. Who wants to party and then do that? And so rappers, like in the hood from all over there, they were the ones that kind of blew it up online and everything. And then it expanded from there. And then, of course, once black culture makes something cool, white kids from the suburbs want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what helped it explode.
It starts with the white kids in Mobile, Alabama, copy them first, then the white kids from the suburbs copy.
Correct. Yeah.
I wondered if it was college. I had to, because I remember when I was poor college student, that was the criteria for what you drank was alcohol content to cost.
Yep.
And if you could combine it with something, that was, it didn't matter. Taste was not a factor.
Oh,
100%. What's going to fuck me up for the least amount of money?
And so we got lucky with our first state that was open was Tennessee. I don't know if you follow football at all, but University of Tennessee is number one right now.
Oh, college. I follow NFL a little bit. I don't follow college football.
So college football, we're at Total Wines in like Knoxville, right? And so it's 8%. So if you're a college kid.
Yeah.
If you're a college kid and you don't want carbs and sugars and all that
and
stuff.
And the name, too,
they don't
perfect.
Know the old all trick. Sutter's Home and Mad Dog 2020, that's 28% if you mix it.
Is it really?
Yes. And it's less than $6 for both.
No shit.
Yeah, you could get a Sutter's Home bottle for like $4.50.
That's right.
And then a bottle of Mad Dog is like fucking $4. So boom.
Yeah, so in Knoxville, like it's selling out all over campus and all
wow,
that stuff.
Good,
and it's
good.
Like, and it's great, but sometimes you get lucky with things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you take that into consideration and everything else. If you were to do a product, what would it be?
Oh, man. You know what? It's like...
I know you've been pitched a million times.
We thought for a second, only because it was so absurd... But like the joke that we did, I just Whipple joke, like Whipple, like a fucked up energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took a meeting a while back about but what it would cost to get into it. And I'm like, I don't know that we could say what we want to say on the cans and have them on any store shelves.
Because I've got a workaround for you on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of going to compete against the major drink people, go somewhere where no one exists. Energy Ranch.
Energy Ranch.
Yeah, yeah. It's ranch dressing with energy.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm here for this.
What?
I'm here for this, but I need an entire array of energy dipping sauces.
Oh, yeah.
Like a barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
I need energy mustard.
He actually made a mock concept drawing
energy
of
ranch.
It.
Energy ranch. Yeah, yeah. I remade the label for Hidden Valley that you could put it on. It says Energy Ranch. Like, I wanted to relabel everything in my fridge at one point.
We made fake labels for bananas. We had a joke about me fucking banana peels. Well, because I talked about fucking banana peels in high school.
Yeah.
But, like, and people were putting Dan Keita stickers over Chiquita stickers in grocery stores.
With a little yellow face of his?
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's so great.
Did you microwave the banana peel?
We should start a campaign.
No,
here's the thing.
No, I didn't even microwave
it. Come up with a couple real fucked up stickers that are the exact size of specific name brand labels. We sell them on drinkingbros.com, and then we start the campaign to relabel things in the grocery store until we get a letter.
Well, that's how the Biden I did that. The gas pump started. Yeah. That was on a few other sites and everything like that. What was the wording you wanted to put on? Because I just went through.
Well, the joke like is fuck you, fuck your family, drink Whipple. And so I wanted to have that on the cans.
Definitely cannot. I can already answer that question, friends.
Hard no.
Yeah.
Hard.
And then we did look into, there's this group, oh my God, New Holland Distillery or New Holland Brewery, excuse me, out of Michigan that are just fans of the show. And they have a private distillery and also like, I guess, brewery.
Yeah.
And it's so good. Their stuff is so good. Like their gin, their whiskey and stuff is so good. We did have meetings with them about doing like a Lucifina, like from the Timecast show, and like our own rum, gin, and whiskey. But it was during the supply chains issues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We went
couldn't
through
get
it.
Glass.
Yep. Couldn't get it.
We
so
couldn't
that
get
killed
glass
that.
Or aluminum. We had trouble with aluminum as well. Yeah. Yeah. So I can say this.
The first run, though, these things were in garbage bags. Like, yeah, exactly. If you want an hard AF, you got a 5-gallon garbage
bag.
Smack the bag, baby.
Just a little bag, baby. Pop in your mouth. I can tell you this. They definitely would have shot that down as far as the labeling goes.
Yeah.
So you have to turn your labels in state by state, and then they say yes or no, right? So our lawyers said, even with hard AF, they're like, That won't fly. And I was like,
how'd you get around that?
Well,
just try it.
It's a veteran owned company. And we said it was Hard Air Force. So,
is that how?
Air Force.
That's awesome. That's very smart.
So, on the box, because our brewers are veterans.
Hard Air Force.
Yeah, it's Hard Air Force, you know? our brewers are veterans as well. And they were like, oh, well, that's fun. And I was like, isn't it? And so once it got out, there was nothing you could do, right?
Right.
It's fine.
Because if they shut it down now they're anti-American.
Veterans,
oh, you fucking hate America?
Yeah.
No, okay, we'll put it on the shelves.
What are you, American Airlines?
Exactly.
God, I fucking hate Jimmy Kimmel.
Do you? Did you watch that last night?
What?
Did you hear about the story last night?
No, I was talking about, he tweeted the other day about how much of a piece of shit fucking Elon Musk is. So I'm like, you're such a fucking piece of, like, no, Jimmy, you are. Because you're fake as fuck.
Ah, like, yeah.
He is a fucking...
Very Hollywood.
And he's just the Democrat, the DNC's little Muppet boy. They've got their fist up his fucking ass, and they're just like, look at me, I'm Jimmy Kimmel, look at me. Get over, have a bunch of people dance around in shot costumes, you fucking idiot.
There's no segues out of Jerry, by the way. Right. It's going to go where it's going to go, and either you're going to take that left,
right,
or you're going to keep going straight to the destination you were supposed to go to.
I'm just saying, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel's an idiot.
He's here, yeah.
It's up to you. But yeah, Kimmel's getting buried for that comment right now.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he did blackface as Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, I'm so glad.
That was a long time ago, right? And he's coming back. Yeah.
Should we look around again? You can bring it up.
Before he said it?
Bob, pull up Jimmy Kimmel and blackface as Shaquille O'Neal.
I believe it's Karl Malone.
Yeah, Karl Malone.
I think he did Shaq and Karl. It was multiple.
Oh, he's done a few.
Well, the Lakers were in the finals, too, so... and for both teams, because Carl was in there on the same team as well.
I don't know enough about like the political alliance with like Elon and stuff like that, but to me it always just reads like he's just like saying like, yeah, you have to work hard. Very centric. Like, yes. You know, like that whole Twitter thing I know is like, yeah, we're going to lay a bunch of people off because the jobs are unnecessary.
Right.
And then people, I don't understand when people get mad about that if it's true. It's like, well, yeah, that's how you run a good business. Is like,
sure,
you don't just have people hanging out, making money, not doing anything.
I apologize. Oh, it was Karl Malone. I'm sorry. You can see it on the screen.
Jams.
Obviously, yeah.
Utah Jams.
That's not a good look.
Well,
yeah.
When he was doing comedy, it was. The problem is he isn't now. And so when this Elon Musk thing happened that Jared was talking about, this morning he had to do an article with Variety explaining kind of how he made the switch.
Oh,
So back in the day,
essentially become religious.
Well,
that's what it's like. Hey, listen, wokeism is now a religion, and I've now become woke.
I have a question, guys.
What?
Is it less racist the lighter skin the black face is?
I see this black guy. No different than
you. Not my world.
You
dude.
Cannot get angry at this.
Tyler's like, what the fuck did I walk into today?
Yeah. Does anybody get mad at Tropic Thunder? Like,
I think that's contextual. You know, it's like that satire again, which the bots wouldn't recognize. If that happened online now, just get shut down.
And by the way, but even though I dislike Jimmy Kimmel, same with Jimmy Kimmel, where Karl Malone was on the show and they were friends and all this other stuff or whatever.
So context,
right? So he did an article this morning with Variety, and he said why his show has changed, why his outlook has changed about life.
Okay.
And it was Trump. So he said, look, it was 100% Trump in this, and
so he got so mad he just went completely, I'm going to run in the other direction.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the article he did this morning after the Elon Musk thing was, hey guys, you know I lost half my audience anyway, so I don't care about going against Elon Musk. And they're like, why don't you care about that? And he said, well, the ABC execs brought me into the office and they said, please stop telling Trump jokes. And this was 2015-ish, around there. And he goes, no, this is who I am and everything else. And I guess the ABC execs had said to him, look, Republicans are 50% of your audience.
Right.
And let's face it, it might be 60 because of who you brought over from The Man Show.
Yeah. Right.
The Man Show is all Republican dudes, bros, everything else.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't give a shit about losing it. If you want to fire me over these jokes, you fire me and just hire another host. And they said, no, we'll ride it out with you. And then in return, he did say at the end of the article, he's lost about 68% of his viewership on his show because of it.
So no one gives a fuck about his dumb ass.
It's strange, right?
68% don't like it.
Yeah, so all these guys are kind of getting pushed out of late nights and everything for it, and they're heading over to podcasts.
Great. He's going to have a bunch of soy boys that love him. And then when everything goes to hell, he's going to go, I need people to protect me, and they're going to show up and their arm's going to break because they had to carry something.
He's got enough money.
And I just understand this reaction. This is what I've been talking about in stand-up right now, why people feel the need to pick teams. Because I'm not a fan of either major party. I'm like in the middle. There's problems I have with both. But it's like when they go so hard on one, I don't know. It just doesn't.
And try and make it like be the be-all, end-all. You're just like, what?
And it feels like pandering a lot of the times. Where it's like, I have to go here. So now I have to go along all these talking points.
Imagine
changing
your name to sound more Mexican.
Oh, like Beto O'Rourke. That's who he's talking about. That's who's running here in Texas.
Okay. Robert O'Rourke
it's a white
is his
guy.
Name. Beto is what he goes by in Texas.
He had a Mexican nanny who called him
Beto. Carlos Mencia.
Yeah, exactly.
Ned, what's his fucking real last name?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I heard he steals jokes.
He sure does.
sure
does. You ever had a joke stolen from you that you knew another comic did it?
Yes. I don't even want to say because he's fine now, but I did call him personally. and we had a little, I got pretty fired up and I was like, I would let it, I don't know. I think I scared him a little bit and then he stopped doing it and whatever now. But that, it was just once. Other than that, I would hear about like open mic or something and people would see it. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like whatever, you're figuring comedy out. But he was somebody like doing the same clubs as me doing one. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
And you're a bigger dude. Like people don't realize it. Yeah. You know, they'll see your show like, and they're like, oh great, you're this tall. And it's like, no, a lot bigger than that.
And he was not a bigger guy. So he was like, I'm
look
sorry.
At this build. I have a scoped rifle, my friend.
Yeah, because I always wonder what the conversation is or if you care or anything else. Yeah. Like, I stopped doing stand up like a long time ago.
Could fit a boat trailer in Jimmy Kimmel's ass.
Sure.
Oh, my God. God, dude. The build thing, what's funny, this might be in my head, is I'm not an aggressive like person. I'm not
yet.
Not yet.
You haven't hung around me in a lift. Yeah. I can bring it out.
But like, I can be situationally, but I swear that was when in LA, it's like just the way that people, this, I don't know, maybe the Kimmel stuff's reminding me of that. But people, because I'm from Idaho and have the look I have, like put me just immediately in a certain camp. Mm-hmm. And like, and a lot of like very liberal comics who came from much more privileged backgrounds and are like, almost like it's a bad thing. Like lifting is you're just a dumb meathead or anything. And they're like, you know, 5'5 and wayfish and stuff.
You look like you constantly talk about the Ruby Ridge incident.
Yes. Randy Weaver got screwed. Yeah. But having that, I swear it did. I thought, at least in my head, it hurt me for network. It did build anger. I'm like, you know what? Fuck these guys. You know, like that. Just like if I'm not like, oh, do I have to talk quieter? Does my fucking voice stir up feelings of daddy in you? That like you're like a stern father.
You're a very large bear.
it's funny how for some people like that was enough to put me in like, oh, you're not one of us.
Yeah.
Like it felt intimidating maybe to them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, we were doing Range 15, they were like, hey, man, and we started the podcast and we started Jimmy Bros and everything. They were like, hey, hanging around those Black Rifle Coffee guys too much, it's going to cost you. And I was like, why? And they were like, Republican. And I was like, huh?
What?
Like, they're veterans. I was like, I don't even think they vote. Like, I think you guys are in the middle.
Well, isn't that that's what attracted me, actually, honestly, to Black Rifle initially was the misconceptions people had about them. And it's like, oh, what? Because they like guns and they're fucking masculine?
Yeah.
Then you think they're also racist and homophobic and all that. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Has nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with that.
No.
They tried to touch my dick so many times.
To me, when like people make this, I'm like, oh, no, the problem is that you're fucking stupid. You're a lazy binary thinker and you don't want to actually understand like the brand, the people, anything. It's just it made me like, I mean, in addition to just who they are, like, you know, like supporting veterans, like all the philanthropy. I'm like, no, they're better people than you.
Yeah.
And you don't see that. You just see dudes. Oh, they have muscles. Oh, they must be misogynistic pieces of shit.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I went through that back in the day. I was like, great, man. I don't really fucking care. And I can't. Because I saw comedy dying like 2014, 15-ish, where we were just like, oh, shit. And it was right before Trump got in. Yeah. And after Trump got in, it was over.
What they're left with over there. There's nothing fucking cool going on in Hollywood right now. Well, not a thing. Not a fucking cool project. Like, all the Marvel shit is just trash now. I guarantee you it's only a matter of, like, 3 more years before we have a fucking trans superhero or some horse shit.
I think we got one. It's the Flash.
And you know what? And on that, I don't even care if there is a trans super, but don't make the show about being, it's like, just be a person who happens to be blank. Yeah. I fucking don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but just have the focus be on their humanity or their superhero power, the story. But that's what killed me about like Netflix and all these gatekeepers. They stopped caring about comedy and they started to care about like, you know, checking off boxes.
Inclusivity and everything else.
And I don't care. It's like, check off the boxes, fine, but check them off with good fucking comics and you clearly don't give a shit about that anymore.
Nobody like, realizes like Too Fast, Too Furious. Look at that cast. Who were the leads?
Too Fast, Too Furious?
Paul Walker,
and? Dude. R.I.P.
God, forget
Tyrese. And?
Vin Diesel.
No.
And?
Family. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle Rodriguez.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I love Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah.
You go look at fucking Too Fast, Too Furious. It was made in like 2003 and it's like, where is this like thing that Hollywood's claiming that they've never included everybody.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's like, one of the biggest franchises of all time, and every single one of them is a different race. And
yeah,
then they go over to Tokyo.
A Cuban
Tokyo
woman.
Drift.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. Cuban woman. Like,
yeah. But in Tokyo Drift, we have the redneck guy beating all that Asians in street racing.
Yeah, hey, but I mean, let's be real.
He
let's
probably
be real.
Would in real life.
Those, yeah, they're a lot smaller and a lot lighter.
You can have some weight in that vehicle, Giorgio.
Traction is a key to good driving.
Sure, have the resto mod physics. Mustang physics. At the end, so he can see, so he can drift the Mustang.
Dude, today's an absolute blast. Every time you come in, it's amazing. I know you got live shows tonight here in Austin.
Thanks.
Now's the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
You know what? I will give it. Okay. My grandpa award. I'll give my pop award. My grandpa, he passed away about a year and a half ago. Had he not been in my life, like no exaggeration, I'd probably be in prison. I was going down a very different path.
Really?
Just not having my dad around much, you know, like growing up and different things. And like, he was like the father figure and just the best dude.
That's awesome.
Just like very honorable guy. He was a veteran, you know, like
never
that.
Cried.
Never cried.
Never cried, dude. Can't cry.
Maybe should have, got it showed a little. No, he was just such a great guy and came from nothing. Like just a such great story where it's like his dad, severe alcoholic, beat the shit out of him growing up constantly, stole his money when he was in the fighting over in Korea. He was deployed over there. He wasn't fighting, but part of the war effort.
Sure.
Sent money home to get a car to come back with. His dad just drank it all. Just came back home, nothing. And could have been a bitter dude, could have like repeated that and was like, nope, I don't want to be like that. And just like the most honorable family good guy, hardworking dude, worked at the sawmill construction, didn't complain about shit. And if the world was full of pop awards, be a fucking good world.
Was that the last generation of it? Because now that you bring that up, I remember my grandfather was in World War II, right?
Yeah.
Tough ass, hard as nails dude.
Yeah.
There was one time where I thought it looked like he was about to cry. And it was at my grandmother's funeral. They were married for 50 plus years. And he goes, he excused himself from the room.
Oh,
and
man,
so I think he went and cried in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He died like a year after her. It was very close.
Right.
Which happens a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
And he was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
And then just walked out of the room. And I was like, I guarantee, like, I could see him welling up at the wake. And I was like, oh, shit, is this the time I'm going to see Grandpa cry? And he goes, no. Fuck you. I'll do it in a separate room, dude. And I was like,
such a different generation. I had
see
to like
with a dustbuster. Like,
oh, yeah, dude.
It doesn't even get out. Yeah. It goes
not
straight into the vacuum.
Yeah.
I had to like run. I don't know what you call it even like, but like, you know, kind of like MC, I guess, of my grandpa's funeral. Like just, you know, just make sure everything's moving along. Everything.
Sure.
My family just put me in charge. And I got choked up and I cried. Like, and I remember thinking as I was doing it, if my grandpa was here, he'd be so fucking disappointed.
The same thing happened to me.
And then his friends were there at the funeral and they're just looking at me like, you fucking bitch. Like, yeah, he's dead, but come on, pull it together.
The same thing happened to me. So I got in charge to talk about my grandfather's funeral.
Yeah.
I started crying.
Yeah.
And I'm on mic and it's loud and I'm a gross crier where it's just like, holy shit, I don't cry that much.
Yeah.
But when I did, it was over my grandfather.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing. That thought went in my mind. I was like, son of a bitch. If he's looking down at me right now, he's like,
Ross.
Yeah. He was the one who was like, take off your shoes, walk on the hot asphalt on the way to the beach, dude.
Yeah.
You need to toughen up. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I'm bawling at his own funeral, giving the goddamn speech.
Yeah.
God damn it. I actually put that in the first book, At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. There was a scene in there called a PMT, and it was a powerful motherfucking tear. You can do it once in your life. And it's if your whole family dies in a house fire, including your children.
And one of them is encased in gold.
Yes. And that's the only time you can cry in your life.
Yep.
And that was based on my grandfather.
Yeah.
And nobody knows that story.
Man,
what the fuck?
What's
dude?
Happened to us?
We're all pussies.
And I'm in this weird, you might be too, I'm in this weird space where I do believe in like therapy and value and like taking care of yourself. But asterisks, but like not taking it so far that you just read sadness and everything. Like my grandma's motto, also I could nominate her, but my my his wife, you can laugh or you can cry about things in life. And I've seen her go through like so many hard things. Like our sense of humor in the family is so great because of that. And that kind of tenacity and grit. It is just, I don't know. I like both. It's like, yes, take care of yourself, but also be tough.
Yeah.
Don't let, I'm tough. When we thought my grandma would be dying, she had this crazy big tumor in her stomach. This is like my family's sense of humor. She had it removed. It was like a volleyball size. So I brought her a volleyball for a gift and like talked about like, so congrats on your new baby, like cards and stuff. And like, that's my family's humor. But like, it's so great because no matter what like happens, they can just laugh. Yeah. Like no matter what, you know, yes, there's some sad stuff, but like my grandma was cracking jokes the day after her husband's funeral of like, you know, 55 years.
Sure.
And she was like, yeah, she's fucking sad, but also like not wallowing in sorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's a good generation.
It is. It is. And now we're the next. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we'll
see. The new generation
is we'll see what happens.
Humanity had a good run.
Exactly.
It's fun while it lasted.
Either way, look, check out Dan Cummins. Time Suck is one of the very best podcasts there is. Mm-hmm. He's one of the very best stand-up comedians we have in the United States. If you have not heard of him, maybe this is the first time, please go and check out everything he does. Follow him on Instagram, everything else. His wife is hilarious. Just a great all-around person. Thank you for being here.
Ross.
We greatly appreciate it. And,
I appreciate being here.
And we'll see you soon.
And when I do Time Suck, you know, I get Black Rifle Coffee to get fired up for it and drink hard as fuck seltzer to calm down.
Goddamn right. Yeah. Goddamn right you do. For Dan Cummins, Jared Cat Puke Taylor, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water